Now for a little mystery story, but this one isn't a whodunit. It's more of a who are you? And it comes to us from our friends at Radiolab.
Hey, Renee.
Hello there. That's Jad Abumrad from WNYC. And Robert Krowich, are you there?
Yes, I'm here too. And I should mention that Radiolab is a show where we get kind of curious, explore ideas, we argue sometimes.
And sometimes we like to tell stories that give us an unusual peek into the world around us.
Well, let's turn then to this mystery story. What is the nature of the mystery?
Well, the first thing I should tell you is it's not just one today. Mm-hmm. It's two. Two stories.
Told by two different people.
I am V.S. Ramachandran at the University of California, San Diego.
Okay, my name is Dr. Carol Berman. I'm at NYU Medical Center. I'm a psychiatrist.
And we start with Carol Berman.
My patient, who is this 37-year-old patient, comes back to her house and sits next to this man who's wearing a red plaid shirt, trucking boots.
She looks at this guy, and she's just not sure what to make of him.
I think the jeans she recognized and the boots, and she takes a look at him and says, "Who are you?" And he says to her, "Well, who are you? Come over here and give me a kiss."
So she leans in, a little tentatively, gives him a kiss. But it feels wrong. Everything about this situation feels wrong.
She was thinking this is some strange man who's sitting here in her husband's clothing, and she was wondering what he was doing in her apartment.
Okay, so now we want you to hear a second story. This one comes from Dr. V.S. Ramachandran.
I saw a patient not long ago, was in coma 2 weeks, a student on our campus, came out of the coma, a little bit slowed down, but overall quite intact. But here's the problem. When he looks at his mother, he says, "Doctor, this woman looks exactly like my mother, but she's an imposter."
An imposter?
She is an imposter. She's some other woman pretending to be my mother.
Now, is this person his actual mother?
It is his mother. And the standard,
he just doesn't think that his mother is really his mother.
Yeah.
This person looked like her husband, but there was something about him.
Like the feeling you have?
Right, the feeling, or there's a certain essence, and the soul of the person isn't in there.
So it turns out that these two people are suffering from the same delusion.
Kapgras delusion.
Pronounced like Kapgras.
These kinds of Kapgras delusions appear sometimes with brain injuries, or sometimes just out of the blue. But the result is almost always that you feel like your loved ones have been replaced by imposters.
Jad, Robert.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That sounds really
Cookie.
Creepy. I mean, it has to be a rare thing, or at least I'm hoping it is.
Well, we don't really know the exact numbers. It can go hand in hand with other disorders, so some doctors will look at it but then overlook it. And it's certainly unusual.
And do we know why people with Kapgras feel this way, why their brains play this trick on them?
Actually, no one is really sure why it happens, but there are a couple of different ways of explaining what's going on inside these people's heads.
We explain it psychologically. There might be some negative aspects of the person that you don't want to recognize. Like maybe my patient, saw some negative things in her husband that she didn't want to recognize. So when the negative aspects came in, he had to be a completely different person for her to, because she couldn't, you know what I mean?
So on some level, you think it's a kind of denial.
Right.
So it'd be like, Robert, if there was something about you that I just couldn't handle.
You couldn't quite.
The only way I could deal with it psychologically was to make a break and to say, oh, well, that's not the Robert I know.
Therefore, it isn't Robert at all. It's some fraud.
Yeah, it's a fake.
Yeah. Okay, so that's the psychiatrist's explanation. Now, here is how the neuroscientist explains it.
I think what's happening is something quite specific. You can explain this in terms of the known circuitry in the brain. The visual centers in the brain funnel in information to the fusiform gyrus, where you recognize your mother or a dog or a table or a chair. Then the message goes to the amygdala, which gauges the emotional relevance of what you're looking at for you.
So mom is a face I recognize as mom and a set of feelings that I associate with mom.
Correct. Absolutely. Now, what happens is, in this patient, because of the head injury, that wire is cut.
So then, no mommy feeling.
No mommy feeling. So you say, my God, if this is my mom, she looks like my mom, but I have no feelings. There's something really weird here. She must be an imposter. Now, that's a very far-fetched delusion. Why doesn't she just say, she doesn't feel like mom, but of course she's my mom?
Yeah, why doesn't he do that?
Because our thought processes are much more dependent on our gut-level emotional feelings than we realize.
So, absent a familiar feeling of mom, some part of my brain says, that's your mother. And some part of it says, no, it can't be.
Yeah, and the equation that says it can't be is from your emotions wins.
But now here's the twist.
Now, if she goes to the next room, speaks to him on the phone, he says, mom, Where are you? How are you? It's wonderful to talk to you, right? Huh. Why would that be? The reason is there's a separate wire going from the auditory regions in the brain to the amygdala, emotional centers. That wire was not cut.
So what you hear can be very familiar, but if you see it, then you got a problem.
Yeah. We're highly visual creatures. We pay much more attention to vision, give much more weight to vision than to hearing and to voice.
Huh.
So you say, she sounds a little bit like my mother. I don't know why, but she's obviously an imposter. And of course, this is very alarming to the parents.
Tell me if you don't feel comfortable talking about this, but I understand that you have personal experience with Capgras delusions?
Yeah, actually my husband, he started not recognizing other people first, and then at some points he didn't even think I was his wife. I'm very sad and upset and stressed out by the whole situation. You know, when I get home and I kiss my husband and say, hi, how are you today? And I hope he's recognizing me, but you never know what you're going to get when you get back home.
Well, that was unexpected, Jed.
Yeah.
Could you have thought any of that when you were speaking to her as a professional?
No, I mean, that caught us off guard.
Can you imagine what it'd be like to be her? She has that at work and then she has that at home?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Is there anything that can be done to treat it?
Medication sometimes does help. But the truth is, for a lot of Capgras patients, there's no treatment. And no amount of talk or reasoning seems to help.
That is Jad Abumrad and Robert Krowich from the show Radiolab. It's a production of WNYC, and you can explore Radiolab at npr.org. This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Renee Montaigne.
And I'm Mary Louise Kelly.